So we're going to start tonight, I guess, what did I write? Six-part series on the halachos of Sukkah. Some of the stuff that we'll be talking about we've already discussed in the Gemara in the first couple dafim, but we're going to organize it more based on the halacha, the halachos. Basically, as you probably already know, Sukkah can be divided up into two sections. Okay, there's the walls and there's the schach and other, I guess, miscellaneous. So we're gonna start with the schach, the first couple. The first, I guess, probably 3 or 4 weeks are going to be mainly discussing issues having to do with the schach and all sorts of other things related to the schach. Tonight, we're going to start with questions of sukkah yeshana, which is, well, I think I wrote things having to do with sukkah, a sukkah that's used all year round or made at some other point during the year, and then we'll move to two of the other topics having to do with schach and what leads to a puzzle schach and other issues related to modern-day schach that we sometimes use. So let's start with sugya of sugya shana. It's the sugya and daf tes. We're not going to do the whole sugya inside, but we'll do a little bit of it. Basically, the Mishnah and Gemara and daf tes. Okay. That's what we'll do. We'll start with this.
And this is applicable to people who have pergolas / sukkahs.
Yeah, this sugya will be relevant. Right. The sugya will be relevant to, again, it doesn't mean it's a problem, but it means that it's relevant to anybody that has a sukkah which is not only used as a sukkah, is also something which they use the rest of the year or other times during the year as well. So let's see what the Gemara has to say. You have it? Yeah. All right. So the Mishnah says, on daf tes omid aleph, right at the top, hey, sukkah yeshana beis shamai postlin uveis hil machshirin. So a sukkah yeshana, all right, the Mishnah is going to say exactly what a sukkah yeshana is, an old sukkah. Beis shamai says is posel, and beis hil says is kosher. All right, so we have a classic machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai says it's possible. Beis Hillel says there's no problem. The ezahi sukkah yeshana. What is a sukkah yeshana? I mean, how do we define this sukkah yeshana, this old sukkah? So he says kol sha'asa'a kodem l'chag shloshim yom. All right, any sukkah that was made before Sukkot 30 days, meaning that it was made any time before 30 days or earlier than 30 days, or really earlier than 30 days before Sukkos. Okay? So essentially what we're saying at this point is the following, that a sukkah which was made prior to 30 days before Sukkos, okay, let's say Sukkos is on the Tesvav of Tishrei, so coming up, what's today? Today is Hey El or something like that? Hey El. So Tesvav El, okay, before Tesvav El, right now, let's say you made your sukkah right now, so that's going to be the definition of a sukkah yeshana. Okay, any time before Tesvav El that the sukkah was made, that's the definition of an old sukkah, and the halacha is that Beis Shammai holds such a sukkah as pasul, and Beis Hillel holds such a sukkah is kosher. Okay, what's the reason why? So if you look at Rashi here, Rashi on the side says that that the reason why, the second Rashi of Beis Shammai poslim, Rashi says the reason why Beis Shammai poslim is debo'u sukkah lishma. Okay, the reason why Beis Shammai holds it's possible is because the sukkah needs to be lishma. You need to build a sukkah, or the schach, we're going to assume that it refers to the schach here, it has to be made for the purpose of schach. Okay? Vizu stam nasis, and this is just made for some other purpose, meaning it's not necessarily made specifically for the purpose of sukkah, and therefore Beis Shammai says that it's possible. Why does 30 days make a difference? I mean, what's the significance of 30 days? Anybody want to? Rashi says it here, but if you could think of it on your own already,
I figured it out. Halacha, you start learning the
exactly.
The test, you know, the halachas of the
exactly
30 days
right.
Before that's when you start.
Good. So what?
So that's where your mindset is. In terms of if you know the laws, then you could start building the schach, the shein mitzvahs.
Right.
So I mean, that's what it's saying here.
Okay,
so
you're close.
He says one of the reasons, the reason within 30 days is because you have to do it lishma.
Okay, you're close.
What's considered lishma?
You're close. Why daf tes mid aleph?
If you're in the sugya,
daf tes mid aleph.
Yeah.
Okay.
So what's considered lishma? I would say if you're in the sugya of learning it and you're within 30 days, it's got to be lishma. You know,
it's got to be lishma. That's you got to spell that out. But that's basically the idea. Let's look at Rashi inside. I think you're on the testament of days. That's why. Okay. So Rashi continues now. The third line from the top on the testament Aleph and Rashi. So he says, "V'ilu toch shloshim lachag hava," if it was made within 30 days of Sukkos. Kaylan de Shoal and Hilchas Achag Kodom Lachag, just like Eric said, Shloshim Yom. Since we start talking about the halachos of Sukkah during the 30 days before Sukkos. Therefore what? So he says, Shloshim Yom Stam Ha'osa L'Shem Chag Hu Osa. Okay, a normal case where you didn't specify what your sukkah was for, but you just put up a sukkah, within 30 days we can assume that your purpose, even if you didn't specify it, the purpose of building it was L'Shem Sukkah, L'Shem Schach.
Okay? Even if you
have exactly, even that's the point. So what we're saying here, okay, that point really goes back to the first Rashi, which we didn't read it, and we'll read it right now. Okay. The first Rashi of Sukkah Yeshana. Rashi says Sukkah Yeshana, as the Mishnah explains, Shasa Kodem L'Chag Shloshim Yom, the part of the Mishnah we just read, that the Sukkah Yeshana refers to a Sukkah which was built prior, more than 30 days before Sukkahs. V'lo Pirish Shehi L'Shem Chag. Okay, you didn't specify what the Sukkah was for. So now let's put the picture all together. Okay, the picture is that you're building a Sukkah more than 30 days before Sukkahs. Okay, you didn't specify what it was for. If you said I'm building a sukkah for the purpose of using it on Sukkos, even if you did it 60 days before, the halacha seems to be that it's kosher, at least according to Rashi, and that seems to be the way that seems to be accepted. Okay, the machlokas here between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel is when you just built it without any intention, or you built it for some other thing, okay, some other purpose. In that case, Beis Shammai says it's possible because it's not done l'shem sukkah, and Beis Hillel says that it's kosher. Why is that? Look at the next Rashi. Beis Hillel machshir and there's a lo ba'in and sukkah l'shem chag. They still hold that you don't have to build a sukkah l'shem chag. It doesn't have to be for the purpose of sukkahs. Okay? Last line back in the Mishnah. The last line of the Mishnah. Aval im asal l'shem chag. Okay, now it all fits together. If you made it, you built the sukkah for sukkahs purposes, afilu mitzchivas hashana k'shera. Okay, even if you built your sukkah 10 months before sukkahs, you built your sukkah in the winter time, right? It's raining, pouring rain outside, okay? Assuming your sukkah will stay as it is, right? And again, we're talking about the schach as well here, not just the walls, but certainly the schach, okay? The walls we'll get to later, but certainly the schach we're talking about. If you built the schach with the intention of using it for sukkahs, okay, 10 months beforehand, then the halacha is that it's kosher, okay? Even according to Beis Shammai, all right? I don't think so, though you might be right. It might be an opinion that I did not see or don't remember offhand. But I think it's usually assumed Tchilas Hashana means before that. Why do I say that? Because the Mishnah is contrasting 30 days to the beginning of the year. So Rosh Hashanah is how long before Sukkot? Right, 2 weeks. It's less than that. It sounds like there's 30 days and then even more than 30 days, even all the way back to the beginning of the year, which sounds like almost a full year. So that's basically what we have here. Okay, we have again machlokas Beis Shammai Beis Hillel in a case where you built a sukkah not for the purpose of sukkahs. Beis Shammai says it's possible. Beis Hillel say that it's perfectly fine, but they both agree that if you built the sukkah for the purpose of sukkahs, even if it's done 10 months in advance, everybody agrees that it's kosher. Okay, is that any questions till now?
I just want to clarify when you say for the purpose of sukkahs. I think we've discussed this, but you also in your mind you want to use it for all year, but. So it's not only the purpose of service. You have to have the purpose of service, but if you add something else to that,
let me ask you a question. Put it this way.
Is it have something else with that, or is it only that and nothing else?
Good question. So I didn't see any discussion directly on that point. I have to speculate here. Again, it could be somebody talks about it. I didn't happen to see it. So I would say if it's for both, but you know, at least part of the main purpose why you're building it is for Sukkos, then it's probably good enough. But you know, if Sukkos is not, you know, a main
important
thing, well,
you, like,
really I want to do it for the year, but I'll say that, you know, just because I want to get out of this problem, I'll say that I'll also use it for Sukkos. Maybe not. I would say that the Sukkos part of it has to be a main factor to your decision. Okay, meaning if you're not spending Sukkos in your house and you build it now, you know, yeah, it's for Sukkos from 2 years from now. Okay, it's not. Anyway, that's probably not going to work anyway. But even if it would, I think that's not going to be good enough. You say, well, I have Sukkos in mind, and I also, once I'm building it for Sukkos, I'm also going
to
use it, you know, even before Sukkos.
From the sun
so then already, I think I could hear that would be okay. Okay, this is the way that most of the Rishonim understand the Mishnah. Again, there is some discussion about exactly how to interpret these lines, but the way that we explain it is basically the way that it's accepted. Okay, so now according to this, before we go any further, according to this, hey, if you build a porch, okay, what do we call the things outside?
Pergola.
Okay, the structure is called a pergola.
It's really a sukkah. There's
but whatever it is, okay, it doesn't have to be a pergola. It could be anything that you build right out on your porch for the purpose of sukkahs, okay? For the purpose of something, all right? So let's say the following, all right? If you built it for some other purpose, okay, not for sukkahs, according to actually, let me start this way. Who do you think we pass, like Basil or Beis Shammai? What would you think?
I think Basil,
right? That's correct. Yeah, we always pass on like Basil, with the exception of a few cases. This is not one of them. So according to Beis Hillel, if you build a sukkah for the purpose of shade or for the purpose of using it as a play, as a, you know, I don't know, what would you build it for? What did you build it for outside?
I built it for a sukkah and for to use it all year round.
Okay. To use it all year round for what? For what purpose?
To be able to sit outside.
Okay. To sit outside, a nice outside table. Right? Okay. A nice outside table. A nice outside place for the kids to play.
And also,
but with a schach.
And privacy.
Okay.
But that's not the schach, that's the walls.
Right. So that already might not be included, which we'll get to afterwards. So what's the halacha in that case? Is it kosher or not, according to Beis Hillel? What does it sound like? Sounds like it's kosher, right? Yeah. Sounds like it's kosher. Good. Okay. The Gemara here just talks about where Beis Shammai got their proof from. I don't think we need to go through the whole Gemara, but if you just want to get a sense of what the Gemara is talking about, you just look at the first two lines. The Gemara says, "My time with Beis Shammai." Why does Beis Shammai say that it's possible if it's not for the purpose of Sukkos? It says, "Amar kra chagas sukkos shivasim imlashem." The pasuk says, "Chagas sukkos shivasim imlashem." Sukkah ha'asuya l'shem chag ba'inan. Okay, la'Hashem, here Beis Shammai interprets to me that it's got to be for the purpose of Hashem, meaning it's for the purpose of Sukkos. Okay, if it wasn't for the purpose of Sukkos, it's possible. That's what Beis Shammai holds. Beis Hillel says we use the pasuk to talk about a totally different halacha. Okay, we're not going to read the whole thing inside, just because it's a whole omad here. I don't think it's worthwhile. The Gemara questions that. The Gemara changes it. The Gemara uses a different pasuk. If you skip down 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, about 12 lines down from where we were, so the Gemara has a different pasuk, which says, Beis Shammai's reason is from the pasuk of Chag HaSukkos Ta'aseh L'cha Shivas Yamin. Same idea. That Chag HaSukkos Ta'aseh L'cha Shivas Yamin, you should make for yourself for 7 days, Sukkah HaSuya L'shem Chag Ba'inan. You need to have a sukkah which is made for the purpose of sukkahs. Okay? And Beis Hillel say, no, that pasuk tells us something completely different. We have a different drasha which we derive from that pasuk. There's no drasha that we have open to tell us that a sukkah and a schach have to be built for the purpose of sukkahs. And therefore, Beis Hillel says, no, it does not have to be lishma. Beis Shammai says it does. Okay? So, here, what's the monkey wrench here? So the monkey wrench that we throw in is in Tosos. Okay? And this is why you may have heard that maybe there is some issue to using something, a structure used all year round for the purpose of sukkah. You might have to do something to it. Look at the top Tosos here. Top Tosos on the Avod. Sukkah Yeshana Beis Hillel Machshir. So Tosos quotes a very interesting Yerushalmi. Okay? Tosos says, Yerushalmi Tani, Sarech lechadesh ba davar. You have to add something. You got to make something new. What's the Yerushalmi saying here? So let's just read another line here, and then we'll discuss it. So he says, Chavraya amrin tefa, Rabbi Yosi amr kolshu. All right. So the Chavraya, which is the Chaverim, some group of, you know, of the Chachamim, they say you need a tefach, meaning you need to have a square space of a tefach that's mechadesh, that's new, that's added in order to be kosher. And Rabbi Yosi says, no, kolshu, any amount, meaning as long as you add in any amount, that's going to be kosher.
So what, this is not found in the Bavli?
Correct. It's not in the Bavli. It's only in Yerushalmi. Somewhere in Sukkah. I don't remember exactly where it is. I don't have the reference. Tosos doesn't quote the reference. I assume that it's somewhere on this Mishnah, but again, I didn't check. Just the Rush. The Rush also quotes this. I don't think he quotes where in Yerushalmi it is, but maybe I'm wrong. If you really, really want to know, the Rush says... The Rosh says it's looks like it's Halacha Beis in the Rosh.
Halacha Beis in the Yerushalmi.
Yeah. Okay. If you want to find, you can.
I'm a little familiar with Yerushalmi, how it works in the Halacha, because I'm learning Yerushalmi, not that Mishnah.
Right. Yeah. So it's Halacha Beis. Probably on this Mishnah here. It's probably on this Mishnah. What's going on in the Yerushalmi? What's the Yerushalmi saying here? What's the logic behind this? What's the point? What do you think? Is the Yerushalmi completely disagreeing with the Talmud Bavli here? Or at least with the Mishnah, the simple shot of the Mishnah and the Gemara in the Bavli, which doesn't say it is? Or is the Yerushalmi saying something not, which is a complete disagreement, which is like adding an extra level? It's not totally arguing, but it's adding something a little bit extra. What's the nafkamina between those two possibilities? Hakira here. The nafkamina is going to be...
The whole idea of this tefach or yeah, whatever, is to make sure that you have l'shem mitzvah sukkah.
Right.
That's
right.
The kavana.
So that's the question.
The,
right.
As Rashi put it, the lishma, sukkah
lishma. So what's the Yerushalmi saying? The Yerushalmi is saying
that you need that.
Sort of. I don't think the Yerushalmi is holding like Beis Shammai. I wouldn't say it that way. Okay. I think the Yerushalmi is saying something along the... Right. Well, there's two options. Okay. Number one could be that the Yerushalmi is saying that we don't need lishmak. We're not holding like Beis Shammai. But what we're saying is that you do need to have some element of the sukkah being for the purpose of sukkahs. Okay? It's very important that even if it doesn't have to be lishma, the sukkah, the schach itself does not have to be for the purpose of sukkahs, but there has to be something special or unique about that schach, which is for sukkahs. Okay? If you don't have anything on the schach at all that was made for sukkahs, then something is missing. Okay? Is that called the shma? I don't know if it's called the shma. Okay. But it's called that a section of the schach has to be for sukkahs. It's got to be a chiddush, something extra, something special for sukkahs. Okay? That's one option what the Yerushalmi means. Okay? The other option is that it's not that you have to have something for sukkahs. It's sort of like what we'd call a hidur mitzvah. It's a nice thing, okay? It's a nice idea that we should have something for the purpose of sukkahs. It shows what we call a chibuv mitzvah. It shows that you love HaKadosh Baruch Hu and you want to do something to show Hashem, I love sukkahs, I love your mitzvos, and I'm going to show you by adding in something a little bit extra. That's for the purpose of sukkahs. So otherwise, you say, well, I don't do anything. Okay, it's nice to sit in a sukkah, but I want to show you, we learned at the beginning of the Gemara share about the possibility that there's a real mitzvah of building a sukkah. Okay, usually the mitzvah is to sit in the sukkah, but we learned that some Rishonim might say there's a mitzvah to build a sukkah as well, and maybe this goes with that, the idea that there's a special extra level to show Hashem how much you love it, that you want to do part of the mitzvah of building it also.
So this would be, yeah. Doing the tefach right. Would be part of building
right.
The sukkah.
Right, maybe. What's the nafkamina between those two possibilities, perhaps? The nafkamina might be, there might be a few, but the main nafkamina I can think of is what happens if you didn't do it? What happens if you weren't machadish anything? You just used your pergola with your mat or whatever you have on top already, okay, without adding anything.
There's an meaning to build the sukkah.
If you hold the segment, which is a hezer mitzvah or a chibuv mitzvah, just something extra, yeah. Enhanced, you know, then the evidence, if you didn't do it, do you think it'd be possible? Probably not. Okay. If you hold the first way, that this is a real requirement of chidush, that you have to have some element of being for the purpose of sukkahs for real, and the Rishami is totally arguing on the Bavli, maybe you'll say that it's possible to the Eved. If you didn't do it, you're finished. End of story, right? Your sukkah can't be used, right? So this is, again, we're not going to have time to go into this in detail now, but this happens to be a machlokas, okay? If you look at the Ran, quoted by the Beis Yosef, so the Ran here actually says that it's possible. He seems to say that it's possible. I'm sorry, the other way around. The Ran seems to say that it's kosher, but the Eved, I think. If you want to look at it inside, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but it's, where is it? It's very, very quickly. I think it's on the first page of the Ran. I think it's on Daf Beis on the Ran. Daf Aleph on the Ran. He says, yeah, again, if you want to look quickly, you're not going to read the whole piece in the Ran, but it's, if you know where the Ran is in the back, those you have the big Gemaras, it's on Daf Aleph of the Rif and the Ran in the very back. The Divrei HaMaskel of Ezuhi Sukkah Yeshana, all the way at the very, very end. Okay, it's the fourth Divrei HaMaskel, the big letters, but you have to go all the way to the end of that Divrei HaMaskel, right before the big letter Gemara. Okay, the very last line here, he quotes the Yerushalmi. Again, we're not going to spend time on this now, so if you don't see it now, I can show you later. Just listen. He says, "Klomar da'afakav the sukkah yeshada machshei beis hillel lemitzvah min hamuvchar tzarich lechadish badaver for a mitzvah min hamuvchar, right, which is an enhanced mitzvah or a especially nice mitzvah. You should add in something, but the evidence according to the Ran is possible. If you didn't do it, most probably not. Okay. However, according to other Rishonim, the Beis Yosef seems to say here." That b'di'eved, if you didn't do it, then it is ma'akev. Okay, he says that if you didn't do it, your sukkah is possible and you can't use it. Right? How do we paskin? So lemaisa, according to the Mishnah Berurah, again, I don't see how anybody has here, but I'll just tell you, Mishnah Berurah seems to say that b'di'eved, if you didn't do it, it is kosher b'di'eved. Okay, he paskins like the Ran, and he quotes most of the Achronim apparently paskin like the Ran. This is, if you want to look it up later, it's in the Mishnah Berurah, Sif Katan Zayin. Okay, and Simon Tuf Reish Lamed Vav. I don't know if anybody has that sheet there. If you have the sheet that I gave you, if you have the sheet that I put up, it's on the sheet. It's source number 2, the really long source number 2 with all the Mishnah Berurahs. It's Sif Katan Zayin. Okay. I'm sorry, it's not Sif Katan Zayin. No, I'm sorry, it's Sif Katan...
It's a short one.
I'm sorry. Hold on. It's I'm sorry. Try that again. Where is it here? I can't find it. All right, it's in here somewhere.
It says that it's.
But he says somewhere that it's possible. It's kosher b'di'evin. All right, I don't see it right now. But it's here. It's here somewhere. Okay. And yeah. Okay. Let's see it. Okay, I apologize. I didn't put in my notes exactly where it was, but it's there somewhere. Okay, basically most of the achronim hold that it's kosher if you didn't do it. Okay. Now, let's go on. Okay, halach lemaisa. So what are we paskin here? So we basically paskin exactly as we said. Let's read it in the Shulchan Aruch inside for those of you who have it. Okay. Sukkah yeshana dehainu sh'asak kodem shikansu shloshim yom. Okay, again, this is I think source number one. All right, and again, I'll explain it if you don't have it. Sukkah yeshana dehainu sh'asak kodem shikansu shloshim yom shlifnei achag. Okay, sukkah built 30 days before sukkahs. Ksheira. As long as you add in something now, on the schach l'shem chag, for the purpose of sukkahs. How much do you need to add? So it's exactly what we said before. V'afilu b'tefach al tefach sagi imhu b'makom echad. Okay, even tefach al tefach, one tefach by one tefach, that's sufficient if you're mechadish that. V'machidush al p'nei kula, and if you're mechadish something the whole length of the sukkah, afilu kol dehu sagi. Even if it's not a tefach by tefach, but it's something by length that goes the entire way, that is going to be sufficient. Meaning you don't have to make a chadish the whole thing.
By way, it could be more than a tefach by tefach, right?
No, not tefach by tefach. Square tefach will not be, that's not necessary. If you have something the whole length, even a tiny little length width like this, okay, this small, which is less than a tefach, going this way, it's longer than a tefach going that way, but if it goes the entire length of the sukkah, that's sufficient.
Why do they choose to say less than a tefach, or at least a tefach on tefach space? Because if we abstract ourselves from this argument,
yeah.
A tefach is not something which will ever be ma'akev the achshara of a sukkah.
You're right.
So why wouldn't you be able to do the minimum that would be required? Like, why would they say, why don't you do something that would be ma'akev in other circumstances?
Great question. So what's the answer? So if I tell you that the halacha that we paskin, that it's not ma'akev b'di'evet, meaning if I tell you that if you didn't do it, it's okay,
then
it makes sense. Why? Because the whole point here is it's a mitzvah min amuvchar. It's something extra special to show that we want to do something for sukkahs.
That's fine. Okay. That makes sense.
So then even something small to show that that's fine.
But according to the side that says that it's ma'akev, it doesn't make sense that it should be ma'akev on less than asara tefachim.
I hear you. Mm-hmm. So according to that, apparently you have to say that this idea of chiddush, that you're adding in something for sukkahs, it's not lishma. It's not that the whole schach has to be lishma. It's that a little part of the schach has to be lishem sukkah. Apparently, the point is that bidi eved, it's ma'akev if you didn't show that something to demonstrate that this sukkah is done for sukkahs. Meaning the idea that part of the sukkah has to be for sukkahs is so important that if you didn't do it, it's ma'akev. But you don't need to have a kosher sukkah being mechadish. All you need is some small little point that demonstrates that you had in your mind that it's for sukkahs. Okay, as long as it's a recognition issue, it's not an issue of a kosher sukkah. You understand? But apparently, according to that opinion, the recognition issue is so important that if you didn't do it, it's ma'akev. That's you have to. You're sure. You're right. It doesn't make so much sense. I agree with you. It's difficult, but that's what you have to say. You have no choice because there's not so many other ways to understand this.
I described to that opinion.
Okay.
If it wasn't this year. The Gemara is going out of its way to give.
Right, it has to be. So I would say that it has to be something of significance. Okay, if you have a tiny little thing which is less than a tefach by a tefach, it's not significant. Okay, it's minimal. It's so small that it's not something you would ever even realize. You know that anything was there. Okay, you take a tiny little twig and put it on for sukkahs. It's like a joke, right? It's not serious. You're fooling around with the halacha, right? So we want to say that it has to be something which at least is a minimal significant space to show that you're serious about this, but at the same time, you don't have to have a halakhically kosher space of a sukkah, of schach, of 7x7 tefachim in order to make this, you know, necessary. I guess that's what you have to say here. Okay, the last line of the Shulchan Aruch is v'imasa l'shem achag afilu mitchilas hashana k'sher b'lo chiddush. As you said before, if you make it for the purpose of sukkahs, even from January time, from the winter, that's considered to be halachically kosher, even without a chiddush. Okay, so this was Eric's case basically, that he put up his pergola here with the mats on top for the purpose of sukkahs, but he put it up a few months before. That's kosher. What about next year? Okay, what about a year from now? So then,
tefach by tefach. This is
so then we say if you. This year you put it up for sukkahs 3 months before, but then next year you use it the whole year during the year. So then the halacha is that you have to mechadish something. Okay. If you look at the Mishnah Berurah here, the Mishnah Berurah says in Sivkat and Zayin, okay, the sukkah ha'umedes mishana l'shana. Okay, let's say now we've used this pergola and this whole thing outside for the coming year. Okay, great.
Where are you now?
So Sivkat and Zayin. Mishnah Berurah, Sivkat and Zayin. Okay. So he says, in that case, after mitzchila asol l'shem chag, even if right now we made it for sukkahs, What about next year? Kevach Avra Chagari Badlasia. Once Sukkot passes after that, the fact that you made it for Sukkot this year doesn't help anymore. Okay, next year you got to be mechadish something. Okay, and of course there's Mangan Avram that we're not going to read inside, but basically he says that from now on you have to, in the next year, a year from now, you have to be mechadish something. Okay, good. What is a chiddush? Okay, meaning how are you mechadish this? By the way, is this relevant to anybody here? This idea that you made it for, you know, not for Sukkot, or you made it a few months in advance and then next year you're going to use it? Is this relevant to anybody else here? For you, besides you, nobody else. Okay, fine. How else would you be mechadish it? Meaning, what is the definition of chiddush here? What do you say? What do you have to do to mechadish something? What does that mean?
Well, for my case, there are a couple of options. I could add to it, I think.
Good. So the simple explanation of chiddush means that you add something. I mean, you put on an extra piece of schach. Sure. You put on another palm branch or another couple extra leaves or something like that. Mm-hmm. What were you going to say?
No, that's what I was thinking about. You know, the palm fronds that they cut right before Sukkot, I could throw
good.
It on top.
Exactly, right. That would be a good one.
There's really nothing else that I could put.
Right.
The only other option is for me to actually pick up some of the schach that I have and put it back down.
Right.
Is that mechadish, though?
Oh, that's a good question. Is that mechadish? So the answer is probably yes. Okay, how do I know? This is what the Piskei Tshuvos points out from a few of the Acharonim. I forgot exactly who, but he points out that in the next halacha on the Shulchan Aruch, we find that picking it up and putting it down is sufficient as well. He says there, in the following case, in Siv Beis, if you have it, did I write it here? I'm still in Tafer Shlam Vav, exactly where I was before. Beis, I don't think Beis is on the, if you have the source sheet, it's on the source sheet as well. The case in Beis basically is where you have a sukkah which was built not for the purpose of shade. Okay, it's not for sukkahs, and it's not built for the purpose of shade at all. Okay, basically the case here was that we're not going to read the whole thing inside, but basically you're like a craftsman. Okay, and what you built a sukkah for the purpose of doing your work there. Okay, so the halacha is that the sukkah that you built for the purpose of work, and by the way, in Yad Vashem you'll find this here. Okay, right near our house, we actually have a few places not far that they have a little thing on the side, and it says like that's their workshop. Okay, it's outside. Okay, and they have a little thing on top covering it from the sun, and they have walls on the side. So that's this case. Perhaps that's this case. I didn't ask them if they use it on sukkahs or what they do, but that's this case. The halacha is that in that case, you're not yotze. Eino yotze ba yidei sukkah. Why? Kevan shi dirasa kol hashana, eino nikar shadar ba l'shem mitzvah. Since that's where you live, or that's where you use that area all year round, it's not nikar, okay? It's not recognizable that you're living there for the purpose of a mitzvah, meaning you use it all year round for something else. Okay? And therefore, so what's the difference between that and the first case?
I sit out here. Let's just
good.
Dinner out here every night.
Good. Right. So what's the difference between that and the first case? Okay. The difference is that what was it made for? So he says here. So it's not explicit in the Shulchan Aruch, but when you look back at the Gemara, it is explicit. Again, we're not going to have time to go through the whole sugya now, but the sugya is on Daf Chesom and Beis. Okay, the sugya is on Daf Chesom and Beis, and basically, I think we saw the sugya once in the Gemara part of this year. Basically, from the Gemara, what comes out here is that it has to be for the purpose of shade, the purpose of tzel. Okay, meaning if you use it for, if you put it there for tzel, then the halacha is that maybe it's kosher. Okay, meaning the reason why you put the hut there and you put the schach on top is for tzel. Okay, for shade purposes to protect you from the sun, then that's going to be kosher. If you put it there for some other purpose, for privacy or something like that, then the halacha is that maybe it's possible. So that might explain some of the cases here where in Yad Benjamin, where you put the top on for shade purposes, not necessarily for privacy. That's the reason why the Shulchan Aruch would say that it's possible. So essentially what comes out here is the following. Okay, if you build something during the year, not for Sukkot, for the purpose of shade, then the halacha is that it's kosher, you just have to add something. You have to be mechadish something. Okay?
We're talking about schach then.
Right.
Not the wall.
Yeah. Schach. If you build something for the purpose, not of shade and not for sukkahs, for some other purpose, privacy, let's say, then the halacha is that it's not kosher for sukkahs. However, and this is the key point we were asking about before, the Mishnah Berurah says, in Tzif Katan Ches, imagbia es haschach v'chozer omanichol l'shem sukkah, kshera. In that case, if you pick up the schach and you put it back down, it's kosher. Okay? Yes, Tzif Katan Ches. That's based on the Magen Avraham. So in that case, if it's not even built for the purpose of shade, and we allow you to pick up a piece of schach and put it back down, and that's kosher, so certainly in our case, where you are building it for shade, just not for sukkahs, certainly in that case, the Piskei Tshuvos argues it would be the same thing. Okay, meaning not only can you mechadish something in our situation, not only can you add in something, you can also pick up something which is already there and put it back down again.
Is the Mishnah Berurah saying that is mechadish, or that's just a
no, lie? No, there's no issue. That halacha has nothing to do with chiddush.
The one that
has nothing to do with chiddush. Yeah, nothing to do with chiddush. Yeah, nothing to do with chiddush.
So what does the Mishnah Berurah take on mechadish, that you have to be mechadish?
He doesn't say. He doesn't explain what chiddush is. The pashas of mechadish is that you have to put something new in. What we're saying here is the Pisgei Tshuvos is borrowing from Siv Beis and saying, in Siv Beis, if in that case you can simply pick it up and put it down, then certainly in Siv Aleph you also can do the same thing. Okay, it's not just Chiddush, it's even taking something and picking it up and putting it down again.
And he doesn't talk about how much either.
Right. Well, the second case, I'm not sure. The second case, you probably have to do the whole thing. Again, we're not getting into the second case now in detail.
You're talking about the second case with working in the...
So again, I don't want to get into this in detail now because it's a totally different case. I'm just pointing out that in that case, you're allowed to pick it up and put it back down again. So therefore, in the first case also, the Pisgei Tshuvos says you're allowed to. In the first case, all you'd have to do is do that for a tefach or the same requirements. The second case, you'd probably have to do that for the whole thing. But again, we're not talking about the second case now, so I don't want to get into the details. But that's the halacha. So lemaisa. So what you can do according to this is if you have something outside a pergola or something which you use the rest of the year, all you have to do is take part of the schach, a tefach by tefach, pick it up and put it back down again. Okay, you don't even have to. According to this, you wouldn't even have to take something else, a different palm branch, and put it on.
Right. Okay, even though it says machadish, I thought machadish would mean
right.
But you're saying here you could also.
So that's what the Pisgei Tshuvos points out here. Based on Sif Beis, you can apply the principle of Sif Beis also to Sif Aleph. Okay. He says it's based on the Aruch HaShulchan. Okay, the Aruch HaShulchan says it explicitly. He quotes a few other sfarim to say that as well. Okay, good.
So when would you do, if you had this case, when Erev Yom Kippur, Yom Kippur or any time?
It probably could be any time. Certainly before Sukkot is fine, but even if you did it even before 30 days, it'd probably also be fine because then you're doing it L'shem Sukkah. Okay, let's go on. That's basically the issue of Sukkah Yishana, Sukkah for the purpose, you know, using a Sukkah for some other purpose and then borrowing it again for a Sukkah. Okay, let's go to part two. All right. What things can you use for schach? Yeah, this is going to be more general. This is not specifically practical, but you know, principles that we should be familiar with. What's kosher for schach? Okay, you're probably already familiar with it. Anybody remember what the principles for schach are? What you can use for kosher schach? Good. Okay. What else? Good. Okay. What else is one thing? One thing you missed.
Detached.
Good. Excellent. Okay, you got it. Very good. Okay, let's take a look at Daf Yud Aleph. Right, the Mishnah Daf Yud Aleph spells out the principles, and then this is basically pretty much straight halacha here. Yeah. Okay, if you have a Gemara here. So the Mishnah says, Hidla ala es hagefen es hadalas es hakisum, or kisus, sorry, kisus v'sihri gabav psula. All right, let's say you picked up a vine, or dalas, a gourd, or a kisus, which is something like, I don't exactly know what the translation is. Anybody have the art scroll with the translation here? What's kisus? Okay, you have to look at the right daf. But something that you could pick up that's attached, what'd you say?
Covering, I don't know.
Some sort of covering. If you want to find it there in the article, you can take a look. Rashi translates it as Irya, Bala'az. I don't know what that is. Basically, you could pick it up. You could extend it up and put it on top, like a vine. So he says, the Mishnah says that's puzzle. Okay, if you take that and use that as your schach, it's puzzle. Why would that be? Anybody?
Attached to the ground.
Exactly. It's still attached to the ground. Okay. V'hima yasiku charbeimihen. Okay, or let's say that that was the minority, the majority. What's it called?
Ivy.
Okay, thank you. I didn't remember what it was called.
Ivy. Poison ivy.
Good. Yeah. Ivy, I guess. Meaning the point is, for all these things, you can pick them up, the branches, and and hang them over the schach, over your sukkah, while still being attached to the ground. That's why these things are unique.
So vines, gourds, which are also like vine-like plants, right, and ivy, are ideal for covering a sukkah because they can easily be drawn over.
Exactly. Right.
Okay, so the question, this is a basic question. I don't really discuss it. So what happens, can you hang it over first and then snip?
Good.
So they
talk about it. I think we mentioned this already last time. We're not going to get into this topic right now, but the Gemara talks about it. It's machlokas in the Gemara. We paskin that. Second.
To be cut before.
You're basically supposed to cut it before, and you might have to. You might have to pick it up afterwards. Okay.
If you cut it while it was ready on, then you'd have to take it off.
Yeah. So that's in. That's a little bit earlier. We're not doing the halacha right now. But that halacha is put in Tafresh Chaf Vav Siv Beis. Okay, that we're going to talk about when we talk about things on top of the sukkah. Basically, it says that what you have to do is cut it. You could cut it off first, but you would have to pick it up first after that. Okay, you'd have to shake it around after that in order to make it kosher. Okay, meaning otherwise it is a problem of Tassav Lomanasui, which again we're not talking about tonight. Okay, so now he says if there was more schach, meaning the majority of schach was regular kosher schach, and there was a small amount of this little thing, Oshik Tatsan, or you cut it off, then the halacha is that it's kosher. Okay, again, subject to the provisions we just mentioned, and maybe you have to pick it up afterwards, etc., etc. That's kosher. Zehaklal, here's the principle, and this is what we're looking for. Kol shehu mekabel tuma, okay, anything which is mekabel tuma, okay, mekabel tuma means that it could become tummy if it touches something which is tummy, which generally refers to a kli, something which is used as a utensil, is generally speaking mekabel tuma, certainly if it's metal. And if it's wooden, something wooden is not makabel tuma unless it has a handle. Okay, some sort of call it, or a base kibble. Okay, a base kibble. Base kibble. How do you translate base kibble? Either a handle or something which can serve a function. Something which is conserved as a receptacle. Okay, receptacle doesn't have to be a handle. It could be a different kind of receptacle as well. That's for wooden things. But anything which is makabel tuma, the ein gidulo min haaretz, and it does not grow from the ground, ein misachin bo. Okay, that's not usable for schach. The kol davar she'ein makabel tuma v'gidulo min haaretz misachin bo. Anything which is not makabel tuma and grows from the ground, you can use for schach. Okay, so again, without getting into the details here, but the bottom line is to be kosher for schach, you need both of these things. Okay, meaning basically, it has to be something which is not makabel tuma, okay, which excludes again metal or any types of utensils cannot be used, and it also has to be something which grows from the ground that you can use for schach. We mentioned before from the beginning of the Mishnah, we see also that it has to be detached. Okay, so those are the three categories. Okay, it's got to be detached from the ground, but it has to have grown from the ground originally. And number three, it cannot be something which is makabel tuma. There's, by the way, a lot of halachas that have to, a lot of details that have to do with this, but they're not so practical, so we're not going to go into all the different cases that they talk about, which, you know, not really today, we don't really deal with.
You question, was it made for, did they use this for something else?
Oh, so that's the next one. That we will talk about. That we'll talk about right now. Good. Okay. Let's see here. What's next? Okay. So here's an interesting question. All right, so what is the status of something which could be used, okay, potential schach, which could be used for a function or for another purpose, and it could be used for schach. What do I mean? So let's take a look now for a quick moment here at the sugya. Again, I'm sorry, I'm jumping around here, but this is how halacha works. Okay, it's not all in one place. You have to jump all over the place to get to it. Take a look at the sugya on daf yutes. Okay, daf yutes on the bees. All right. Hopefully most of you have it here. So the sugya here has to do with machtzelas kanim. Okay, you're talking about basically a big mat of reeds. All right. What's the potential problem with a mat of reeds? Okay.
Connected by metal pieces.
What'd you say?
Connected by metal
pieces. Oh, so that's a good point. That's not the simple pshat of the problem in the Mishnah. Okay. But Al Chalamaisa, that actually might be a problem. Okay, the poskim do bring that in, and we'll get to that hopefully tonight before we finish. All right, hopefully. Okay. For now, the simple issue in the Mishnah seems to be the following. Okay. Actually, we can read it inside. Right? Machtzelas kanim gedolah. So if you have a big, large machtzelas kanim, okay, a large mat made of reeds. So Rashi points out here, the first Rashi on the Mishnah, that a mat of reeds is usually hard and not usable for mishka, for lying on. Okay, it's not usually used as a mat for lying. So the halacha of the Mishnah is asala shchiva. What happens if you did use that mat for lying down? Okay, used it as like a, not a bed, but a primitive cot of some sort. Halacha is mekabelas tuma. Okay, then it becomes mekabel tuma bein misachinba, and you can't use it for schach. Why is that? Because, as we said before, anything which is a kli, which is a utensil, which is used for a function, is mekabel tuma, and therefore you can't use it for schach. So in this case, basically, if you use the mat for a function, a purpose, you use it to lie down on, okay, use it to sleep on, as a cot, so to speak, then the halacha is it's mekabel tuma, and therefore it's possible for schach.
So using it for shade during the year.
Oh. So that's so that's not what we're talking about here. A function here means your physical function.
Physical.
It means you lie on it, maybe according to some, maybe use it as a rug, which we'll get back to in a minute. Okay. But that's that kind of function. Shade is schach. Okay, schach is shade. So that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about something else. Okay. So again, without getting into all the details, the rest of the Mishnah is a little bit unclear. The Gemara has a whole discussion about what the Mishnah is talking about here. Big mats, little mats, etc. It's a little complicated. But from the first line of the Mishnah, we already see the principle. Okay, what's the principle? The principle is clear that anything which is already used as a kli, as a function, can't be used for schach. Okay? Good. Now, the question they talk about is what determines whether it's used for a kli or not. How do you determine whether it's used for a kli? So the simple answer is, well, if you use it for a mat, then it can't be schach because it's being used for a mat. If you don't use it for a mat, then maybe you can use it for schach. Okay? But again, the halachas, the Shulchan Aruch has a whole thing that we've shown, you know, talk at length about this, but just on a simple level, just for our purposes, the question is, how do you determine that? And what's the practical case where this comes up? Again, Lemaisa today, this has been accepted, Lehetzer, but just to understand the background, bamboo mats. Okay? How many people here use bamboo mats or something similar to that for their schach? Okay, most of us, right? Mm-hmm. Let me ask you a question.
They're usually the big ones, not for like they're all fine bamboo.
Okay, so this is what's interesting. All right, we're going to go through the Shulchan Aruch and the Mishnah Berurah here inside, but just to understand the issue. Is it possible that some of these bamboo mats were used could be used in other places in the world for mats and not for schach?
That's the ones we use.
Oh.
The ones, they're like big and hard, you know, but there's also like the very fine ones, which I guess was more
They use bamboo mats for flooring and after.
Let me ask you,
yeah, in Japan.
Let me ask you a question, okay? Let's say you didn't buy your schach from a, you know, mahadron, mina mahadron, badatz, you know, selling, you know, company. Let's say you went out to the store, to Home Center or something else, and you bought a mat of reeds, okay? Or you went to India and you bought a nice exquisite, you know, reed mat or something like that. Okay, it's from the ground, okay, it's detached on the ground. Is that usable for schach? What do you say? Why not? Or why? What's the suffix? I mean, what's the possibility?
Because it's not meant, it's meant to be functional.
Meant by who?
No, but by you. Once you acquire it, you are going to, you're going to use it l'shem schach. I mean, you said, I'm only using this for schach, and this is, even though the intent of the guy who cut it, you know, put it together, had no idea about a sukkah or what it is, but you...
And yet together it was used for idol worship.
Right, there could be a problem with that.
Good, okay, that's, let's say we're not talking about that. Very good. If it's possible that was used for avodah zarah, then for sure, then it probably can't be used. Okay, let's say we're talking about something which is made, but it's clear that it wasn't for avodah zarah, which I don't think they worship their mats, do they? They might worship their hair, but they don't think they worship their mats, right?
They worship on the mat.
Okay. It could be if they worship on the mat, that still might not be a problem with Avodah Zarah. Could be. That's against, huh? Yeah. So then the same issue of what it's used for might be a problem, but that might not be a problem with Avodah Zarah necessarily. If they just worship on the mat, but the mat is not considered to be something which, you know, is used for the direct purpose of Avodah Zarah. It's indirect. It's a discussion, okay? It's very similar to the discussion of the shetels we had a few years ago. Not the same, but similar issues. It might be okay, but again, let's assume for now that's not the case. So here's the hakir, okay? Who do we go by? Okay, do you go by the person that made it and what they intended it for? Or do you go by you, okay? Or do you go by the people in the place where you live? Okay? Let's say the place...
Is this the Chepetz Gavra type?
Maybe. So this is actually Machlokas Rishonim, all right? How many people have the big Gemara here? Anybody have the Rush? We can either look at this in the Rush, or we can look at it straight in the Ramah. All right, what do we prefer here? You want the, I know you want the Rush. All right, very, very quickly, if you have the Rush, otherwise just listen, it's in the Ramah also. And then I'll just get to the practical halacha for this point. What time is it, 9:15? Yeah, we have 15 minutes. 17, okay, 13 minutes. Okay, the Rush is on Daf Yates, I believe. It's in the Rush is in the back of the Gemara. It's on page Samech Aleph, I think, in the I think it's Samech Aleph in the page in the Rush. Let's see if I can find it here. Okay, the very bottom of page Samech Aleph in the Rush, for those of you who have it. Okay.
First column or the second?
Second column. Left column. Okay.
Left column.
Towards the bottom of page Samech Aleph in the Rush, about 9 lines from the bottom, right after the period, which says, Kasav HaRav Yishai Abitrani. Okay. I'm sorry if I'm giving your eyes a workout here. Okay, this is a smaller print than you're probably usually used to, but if you're going to make it interesting, right?
Okay.
Everybody got it? Kasav HaRav Yishai Abitrani. Okay, page Samech Aleph, eight lines from the bottom of the second column.
Second
okay,
column,
good. All right, if you can't read, if it's too small for you, just listen. Kazar of Rishai Mitran. Okay, this is the Rid. Okay, Eilah Machzal Shemochrim Hatagarim. Okay, those mats that are sold by the merchants. Ustam Alav Shchida Avide. Okay, normally those mats are not normally used, or sorry, they're not usually made for the purpose of lying down for you know rugs, let's say, or for sleeping. I should say sleeping. Shane Malinus on Sever, they fill them with wool. The guy was a man mechitzos, okay, and they make walls out of them, but the mats themselves were never built for that purpose. Hilkach, he says, La basar asiyasa mazlinan. Therefore, he says, we don't have to follow what they're made for. Sha'un in ososan el machran. The craftsman who makes them doesn't make them for a specific purpose. He makes them to use for whoever buys them. Whoever buys them will decide what they're used for. El machran mishat sarklohen. Each person does it with it whatever they want.
That's for anything, man. You can use that. Second,
good. The aim came, the Rush, the Rav Yishai, the Rid says, aim lelech ela achar kniyasa. You should follow the person who bought it. She'im kano adam l'shchiva mekabelas tuma. If you bought it for the purpose of using it as a mat or as a cot to sleep on, it's mekabelas tuma and you can't use it for schach. V'im kano l'tzorach dover acher, aim mekabelas tuma. If you use it for something else which is not a physical function, it's not a kli, then it's not mekabel tuma, and you probably can use it for
schach. Is it what you actually do, or is it your intent? Let's say you intend to use it for, and then you never end up do.
Good.
I never did it. Why don't I
right.
use it
so
now?
That's.
But if you bought it, I mean, if he made it with intent, let's say you bought it from in Japan
right.
they use them for lying down on it.
Right.
And that's the
so that's the next
assumption.
Step. Yeah, so that's the next
that
step. That's the next step.
For,
that's
right?
the next step.
I mean,
next
he
step.
Said it wasn't made for a specific thing. It was made for Presumably.
So according to Rabbi Shaya, it sounds like, even in that case, it sounds like it's based on the person that buys it. That's what it sounds like.
This is
Tosfos Arid? Yeah, what do we call it? Teirush Arid, whatever it's called. Okay. So they talk about it. Could be that if you haven't actually used it yet, it might not be Mekabel Tumah yet. That's a discussion. I forgot where it is exactly. It's around here somewhere. I have to check that. So they do talk about that. In this case, though, it sounds from here like He says, Imkein Adam Yachol Liknos Machtelas Chadasha L'Shem Sukkah. He says there's no problem with buying a mat. Okay, you buy it for the purpose of using it for sukkah. L'sakechba and using it for schach. Af al gav dechazi l'shchiva. Okay, even though it's appropriate, it could be used for sleeping on. Basato Azlin, and we follow his machshava, his intent, the person who buys it. V'keo the knal tzarach sukkah, since you bought it for the purpose of using for schach v'sikechba, and you actually used it for schach, ena mekabel es tumah. That's Rav Yishai. That's the read. The Rosh says v'lo mistabrili. The Rosh says it doesn't make sense to me. What does he say? Look at this. Ela basar midag anshei hamakom azlin. It says the Rosh thinks we follow the custom of that place. What is the standard that in that locale, in that location, people use it for?
Kid the Amar.
Oh, so we didn't
Why?
Get to that.
Maybe if you buy it, but you bring it to another country.
So the Russia's case is
buy it in Japan and you put it up in Japan. People will think, "What are you doing?"
Good. The Russia's case is a simple case back in those days
they
didn't travel so much. You buy it in one place. That's the place where you use it. That's where you live, etc., etc. We'll come back to your point in just a second. But just get the Rush straight first. Mm-hmm. And he quotes right from the Gemara, which we didn't read inside, which we don't have time. But he quotes from that Gemara and Daf Yates there. There's one case of machzelos that comes from Usha that they said it was tame because in that place they use it for sleeping. So he says it follows based on what the place is rather than what you personally use it for. The place where they use it for sleeping. Even if you intend to use it for schach, and even if you ask the craftsman to make it for you for schach, you can't use it. Why? He says, who knows? And this is a little tricky what this line means. It sounds like he's saying, who knows?
The artist.
Yeah. Who knows who said to the uman to make it for schach? And then everybody else will use it for schach also. It sounds like it's not so set, and you have no idea what's going to happen.
He might think that a certain clientele is going to buy it, but what does he want? He wants, what's his bottom line? He needs to sell it. That's why he's doing it, to make money. If someone else comes and says, I'll use it for this, he's happy.
Right, so that's what he says, basically, that maybe, you know, we don't really know, maybe he's going to make it for schach, and everybody's going to use it for, but it sounds like the Russia's point is that, that doesn't matter, meaning that, you know, who cares? It's still the fact that once the standard is to use it for sleeping, then we should follow the standard. Okay. And there are details that need to be fleshed out on the Rosh, which we don't have time to do now. Halacha l'maaseh would basically pass like the Rosh. Okay, if you look in the Shulchan Aruch, which on the source sheet is... source number... I'm sorry, I'm on the wrong page here. Here we go. Source number 3. Okay. Shulchan Aruch, source number 3. Siv Vav. Shulchan Aruch Tafresh Chavtesi Vav. So he quotes the whole discussion, which we're not going to read the whole thing inside, back and forth. Is it big? Is it small? Is it usable for sleeping? Not usable for sleeping, etc., etc. But just get the key line here, okay? For our purposes, the third line in where the Ramah adds, Dahainu Tafresh Chavtesi Vav. Right in the middle, the Ramah says, Hagad Dahainu Sharov Bnei Osaha Yer Osten Osalach Sichach. The key point according to the Ramah means that most of the people in that city use it for schach. If most of the people use it for schach, then the halacha is that it's kosher. Okay, if most of the people in the city use it for shchiva, for sleeping, then it's mekabel tumah, and then it would be pasul. Okay, that's again the bottom line for us, without getting into all the details in the pratim and the Shulchan Aruch. That's basically what the halacha is. Okay, so now apply to today. Okay, bamboo mats. Okay, where are they made?
Israel.
Is that true? So probably the ones for schach might be, but actually that's not true. The ones here are probably made in China or India. Yeah, okay, fine. Regular bamboo mats that are not used for schach. Okay, regular bamboos that are not used for schach. If they're made in India or China or whatever, so what's the halacha? According to the Ramah and the Rosh. So the question here is what one of you mentioned before. What's the minhag ha-makom? Is the minhag ha-makom based on where it's made or based on where it's used? It's not clear. It's really not clear. It stands to reason in my mind that you should follow the place of where it's used. Okay? Because, it's made there, but the bottom line is everybody around you, if you're looking at the people around you, everybody's using it for, you know, for schach, nobody uses it for sleeping on or for a rug. Even a rug might not be a makal tumah. That's also a discussion. But whatever it is, But it's not so clear. It's not so pasha. And therefore, because it's not so clear, it's a bit of a suffix about this point. So therefore, what they say is that's why l'chachila, basically, the poskim recommend that when you buy these mats, you should get the mats with the hechsher. Okay, the hechsher just points out that that it was made. It's not. It wasn't. You know, in that place where it was made, it's not something that they would have used for the purpose of sleeping or for the purpose of a mat, you know, on the ground. They make it specifically.
Yeah.
Second,
they could get it from Japan or somewhere in India, but they are. Is that are you the Mahadran, whatever this thing is saying that they actually go and get it themselves as opposed to getting it somewhere else, or are they taking it out? Okay, just say it again. What the Mahadran means.
I think what they do. Is they make sure that it's made in such a way that they wouldn't use it, and even in the place where it's made, they wouldn't use it.
They're behind the production from the beginning.
The Badatz is giving a hechsher that they've certified, they understand where it's coming from, they've checked it out, and they know that the way that it's made, I don't think it's the place that it's made, I think it's the way that it's made, is made in such a way that even in that place where it's made, they would never use that mat for lying down or for, you know, whatever it is they use it for there, for Shechiva. Okay.
They could also tell them we're ordering 100 mats for us. You know, they order it for themselves, even though they're gonna. He doesn't
but they could
order it specifically.
That's exactly what I was thinking. Yeah. Meaning, I said they're getting it from the same place as the people who are using it. But they call up. Okay, they know they're gonna sell tons here.
Right.
So we'll take 1,000, but make them for us, or specifically for us. You
so
know
that.
That
are you sure about that?
They're not gonna
so
be
I
sold
have to check this.
Them.
I was under the impression
they're
that
they're
gonna
be sold as this, but they're the same. He's going to make 2,000, 1,000, I'm just saying.
Sure that?
This
sure that. So I was under the impression that's not what happens, but I could be wrong. I could be wrong. I need to check it. You know, Belina, I'll look that up.
I don't know. I'm just saying, logically, from a business perspective.
Okay, so you know before we get to that, let me just say the following. The Mishnah Berurah in Sifkat on Yudches, in Tafresh Chavtes, Sifkat on Yudches, says the following. He says at the very end of Yudches, okay, he says, Dad of Komas Alalu, Komach Tal Sasil Sashchiva. He says, in our places, all the mats are used for lying down. Okay, even if you made it for sikuch, we still don't emesachim, but you can't use it for schach. So, second? Yeah, but again, he's not talking about a case where you build it in one place and then you sell it somewhere else. It sounds like he's talking about where it's the same area, but you might be right. So the Piskei Tshuvos here quotes from Rav Zilber, the Oz Nidbru, and a few others, who basically say the way they understood it is not exactly what I said before. They say that that most of the time the mat is not used for shechiva. Okay, they say most of the time it's not used for lying down. Maybe that's true even in the places they build it. I'm not sure. Okay. Again, I was under the impression that sometimes they build it somewhere else and they use it for lying down. That's why I was under the impression. That's why I thought that they the hechsher. But he's saying here that maybe that's not the case. So again, I have to check that point a little bit better. Okay,
so
I'll take a look.
Actually,
better,
the kavana of the non-Jewish person could be significant.
So if you place a special,
I thought that the non-Jewish people, we don't usually say that the kavana is.
It depends for what. In this case, it might actually be relevant, but according to the Rush, it doesn't matter. It matters of what the community where you live in.
Right.
But it seems that in the community that you live in, you might take into account what the non-Jews do also. Not in Israel so much. I guess Israel also, but especially in Latin America or in India, it might not be based on just what the Jews use it for. If the Jews all use it for schach, but all the goyim use it for something else, for a physical purpose that would make it a kli, you might say we follow the rov, which is the goyim, and it would be a problem. But again, most places today, they don't use it for that. My only question was maybe the places that they buy from in India or other places, these mats might actually be used for, you know, for lying down. So I was under the impression that's why they need a hechsher, because they need to build it specifically for us in ways that wouldn't be used there. But again, I'll check that up. Okay, Blinar, I'll take a look and I'll let you know next week exactly how it is. Let me tell you what some of the other questions that the people posting raise about the bamboo mats are, and this will be our last thing for tonight. We'll finish with this. Okay. Even if you hold this is not a problem, okay, again, even if you hold that this problem of the Lishma and using it for other purposes and a kli is not necessarily a problem. There are some poskim that are machmir for these mats that say you shouldn't use these mats. Why do they say that? It's based on the Rashba or Tshuvas HaRamban, which might actually be the Rashba. Take a look if you have the sheet. It's in the source sheet here.
Is it Rashba on Simisan
Sufis? No. You'll find it there. It's a tshuva. It's in the Beis Yosef. It's source number 5 on the sheet. If you don't have it, and I'll just say it outside. Basically, the question throughout the Beis Yosef had here. Is the following. Okay. The question they had was, can you build basically a schach where you combine together different boards that are small boards? So there's no problem, again, we'll learn later, probably next week, about the Xeris Nisarim, that you can't have big boards that are more than four tefachim wide. Okay. That's because it looks a little bit like a roof of a house, which is possible. fine. So again, we'll learn about that next week. But in this case, you have very small little pieces of wood, but they're attached together with nails, with iron nails, let's say. Okay. So the shaila is, in that case, can you use that? So there's one issue of ma'amid, which we're going to also talk about either next week or the week afterwards. But in terms of our case, he says, is that kosher or possible? It sounds from the Ramban like they're assuming that it might be possible because of the fact that we treat the whole thing as one big board. Okay, it's not treated as many little boards, it's treated as one big board, and therefore the gzera of the nisara, meaning if you have a big board which is made out of wood, but it looks a little bit like a roof, one solid piece of wood, which is bigger than four tefachim, is possible. So what some poskim want to say is that maybe in the case of the bamboo mats, it's the same thing. Yeah, there's spaces in between the boards, but at the end of the day, because the spaces are so small, maybe we should look at the whole bamboo mat halachically as one big board, and therefore it should be possible the same way that you have a big wooden board, which is too wide, is also possible. That's apparently the opinion of Rav Yashiv. Okay, Rav Yashiv is quoted here in the Piskei Tshuvos from, where is it from? He quotes it in the name of the Ozinibru, in the Rav Zilber. And Rav Waldman and Siliezer also passes Lachumra here. Okay. Rav Yashiv again is a known shita here.
Why
that he was
so
machmir.
Many places sell this stuff as the number one?
So
as like that's what they want. That's the
so
first
the vast,
thing they'll
so,
show
so,
you.
Right, so the vast majority of poskim disagree. Okay, most poskim say that's not a problem. Okay, they're not bothered by this Ramban, and they have all sorts of reasons why that they think it's different. As long as it was made specifically for schach, meaning again, as long as it was made for the express purpose of schach. Okay. So they say that this is not a problem of the Gzeres Nisarim. Why? That's I brought you one source here, source number 6. We have the sheet from the Shevet Halevi of Vosner. So he quotes this thing from Rav Yashiv. He says number 6. He did a gun Rav Yashiv. Chashash od chashash ulai domel amuvor beis Yosef. Our case basically that should be the same thing. Vosner says no. He says ibra ledidi daka chashash lo nearly. He says I don't think that makes sense. Why? Kevan de lo nasa shetach echad al yedei achibur. It doesn't become one big space just simply based on the fact that they're connected. Because you can fold it up. The same way that you can fold up something soft, you can fold up the bamboo mat also, and therefore can't be considered one big board. A board is solid. A board cannot be folded up and gone like this and this and this and this. Therefore, it's not included in the gzera of the boards because it's not really similar to a board. Okay.
And the reason for the gzera of the board is because it looks so much like a permanent
exactly
house.
Like a roof. Correct. Okay.
When was this
so
gzera
in the Mishnah and the Gemara? We'll learn about it next time. It's machlokas in the Gemara in the Mishnah, but we pass in that it's a problem. Anyway, so that's the story with the bamboo. So halacha lemaisa, basically, most poskim hold that the bamboo mats are fine.
So what would Rav Yashiv recommend to use as his number one choice?
He would say to use trees, yeah, branches. Yeah. That's basically what he says here. But again, halacha most poskim hold that it's a problem, that it's not a problem. That seems to be the accepted opinion, and therefore most people do use the bamboo. Okay. Any questions? Okay. It's there. So we'll stop here. Next week we'll continue discussing issues of schach. Probably we'll talk about mamid, okay, with the metal supporting the schach. We'll talk about shade and the sun and a few, maybe one other thing. Okay. Schach.
All right.